268, the Illini preview. We actually do preview this game a little bit. We're expecting it to be a version of what we saw last week. We also talk about Matt Campbell's comments from the media this week. We talk about Riley Moss with no PCL. We talk about a whole bunch of other stuff. It's a pretty good episode, a split episode, and we're going to have a day. You know what it is. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 268 of the podcast. This is going to be another split episode, me and Kluver, then Kevin and Kluver. Again, Kevin and I's schedules just didn't match up today. He's busy in the morning, I'm busy in the afternoon. It is what it is. We're still going to get you guys out the episode that you guys want to listen to. This is the pre-Fighting Illinois podcast, and to be honest, man, the fact that Illinois is still a Division I Big Ten team is honestly not good for the Big Ten. They've been an absolute disgrace to the conference, to their state. Well, not really their state, because the entire state of Illinois is just an absolute burning pile of shit. So their program really represents that pretty well over the course of its tenure in the Big Ten. There's effectively no team that it would be more embarrassing to lose to than Illinois. And the fact that we're going to have to figure out what to talk about in a pregame podcast, it's going to be tough, but we're going to fill this hopefully with a whole lot of Illinois state and university slander and give you guys the content you're looking for. Kluver.
It is tough. I think you hit it on the head there with us. Actually, it's disrespectful of the Illini to be so ass that people who have to, well, get to do shows then have to include them in the party. They're like the kid who, you know, they're like the kid who's real weird at recess and you still have to bring him a cupcake when you bring treats for your birthday. That's kind of bullshit. It's a little bit bullshit. It's a participation award. They're sort of a participation school. I throw them right in there with poor Indiana.
Indiana, man. What happened?
Well, I think the Hawks actually killed them in game one.
We broke them.
Yeah. I was going to say Maryland and Rutgers. Butgers. But even I don't even like calling them Butgers, because then that makes me think of Ike, and that's disrespectful to Gert.
Disrespectful to Ike.
Yeah. So Rutgers, Maryland, and Illinois. And let's be honest, Nebraska. Because it's
true.
And it's unfortunate, but Drake, we are Nebraska fans this week because they have the Wisconsin Badgers. Nebraska will travel to number 15 as of last night. The CFP rankings came out. We'll go over those in a second. Number 15, Wisconsin Badgers, and we need Wisconsin to lose one of the next two games if the tickets sitting in my Ticketmaster app are to still be good for the Hawks. So what are the odds? We'll get to Illinois in a second. I've got their stats pulled up. They're actually okay on a couple
things. Is this game in Champaign?
This was in Kinnick. This will be in Iowa City.
Well, at least the boys don't have to go and travel to Champaign, because I would say that it would be more than likely that in that stadium, in the cold, we just wouldn't play well.
You think it would be similar to when
you just don't want to be there. I don't care what Kevin says. When it's cold in Champaign, Illinois, and there's nobody in the stands,
it's trash.
You don't want to be there.
I remember our junior year, when it took us forever to get going.
An entire half. Brian Ferentz went ballistic at halftime.
And Riley McCarron saved our ass with a punt return for a touchdown. And I think we might have only scored three touchdowns. I know Big Boy ran one in late, I believe. But dude, it was the second windiest game we ever played in. It was so cold. Their locker room, I don't know if you remember, but their locker room.
I remember.
It was like.
It felt like we were from the 19th. It felt like we were in the movie Remember the Titans.
There was like wood paneling on the side of the. It was old. I mean, it just the vibe. And it's hard to quantify that people ask about, well, how does a locker room affect you? What are the little things that make a difference in a game?
You spend so long in a locker room. Like, I honestly think that it would be advantageous if the Hawks are going to a place where there isn't a good locker room, where we get there and it almost feels like we're all rushed to get everything done. Like, we don't have enough time, because I think that would actually maybe get us in that fight or flight mode. But when we have to go and sit for 45 minutes in those really shitty locker rooms, man, it sucks. You just truly don't want to be there. We're supposed to be the prize fighters, you know, we're supposed to be the show ponies.
Yeah.
And they put us in this disgusting shit-filled barn. And we're just like, okay, well, put us back on the trailer and let's go back home. Like,
that's a great analogy. I think it's hard to quantify those little things and why they affect the game and why, man, why does the environment.
They just affect your mood, man, like as a human being. Just forget being a competitor and everything. Like, between the white lines, things are different, and you can always get yourself cranked up between the white lines. Like, as soon as you get hit one time, you're cranked up.
Yeah.
But it's just like, from a human being standpoint, like when you're a human who takes care of yourself and is cleanly and hygienic, and you know, like you don't live on a pile of dirt in a shack with shit around you, and then you go to Northwestern's locker room, it's like you're ranking down several notches on the totem pole of like humanity.
How did they get away? How did Northwestern, Illinois is at least
Purdue,
like Northwestern, Purdue. I don't know if you remember Maryland's. You may not have gone in 2014.
I didn't go to Maryland.
Okay.
Well, I did not go to Maryland.
Well, it was actually smaller. It was like.
How does Wisconsin get away with the size of their locker room?
That's what I'm saying, is how do these places not. Is there some OSHA organization that can come in and like mandate a baseline away locker room? I've been in the pink locker room. It's fucking awesome, dude.
It's beautiful. The only thing that's weird about it is it's pink.
It's all like a dull clay pink, but space-wise, functionality, it's great.
Yep.
And Minnesota's away locker room is great, but there aren't really many that are super accommodating. And I get it. Like, there is this, and it's reason why Hayden went with the pink. By the way, what an awesome move by Hayden to just go, like, let's just do this pink locker room. But yeah, I don't understand. And I think the way that I can describe why that affects the mood and how amped you are to play as much is because the margins in a football game are so small to begin with. Imagine you go into a game and realistically there, you know, you could find like, oh, the RPI percentage to win this game on ESPN is 76% for Iowa. It's never that close, like, or it's never that far away. It's always within 55 to 45%. And there's so many factors and variables that go into a team winning or losing a football game. And if it's already just a couple percentage points difference between the two teams, and then you stick a team in a locker room where they have to literally climb over each other, it smells horrible. You can't even gather a group of people, a position group, without having to like wrap around the urinal. Everybody's just a little bit more irritated. They're a little bit more less comfortable. Call it a
like, dude. If you took the showers from the Purdue locker room and put them in a summer camp in the middle of the woods, the kids would still be like, I think we could do better.
I think, yeah, your mic, I think, reverbed to the computer mic. So refresh or whatever you got to do. But it's just it? Like, right. Yeah, you're it's just like once you do that 1/10 percentage point for every single guy on the team, that adds up to a couple percent, right? That's a couple percent. And now you've swayed the margin even closer. And it's just Illinois is one of those teams. And let's be honest, there's not a lot to fight for this week. It's, you know, Illinois is, let me pull them up here. I've got the Big Ten slate up. I also have some of the Big Ten stats. Illinois actually won their first game against Nebraska to start the season in week zero. They then went on a 4-game slide. They beat Charlotte by 10. They lost to Wisconsin. Then they won that dumbass overtime game against Penn State. They lost to Rutgers, and then they beat Minnesota last week. So they're a little bit of an up and down team as well. They're currently sitting at 4 wins, and to be bowl eligible, they would have to knock us off and then beat Northwestern. There's not a lot to like about them. I don't know if you saw this, Drake, but old Brett Bielema won't be in attendance because he's got the COVID. And
coming home for a reunion?
No, he's I believe that he's actually going to be somewhere in the press box. He decided that he wanted to cheer on the Hawks for this game with the tattoo on his leg. And also, he's a big fan of food, as you can tell from his appearance. So he was probably
He's fat like a bastard.
Yeah,
also, does my mic sound better?
It sounds better now, yeah. He looks like he's going to be he's seeking out that press box snacks. But yeah, man, they are the 13th best offensive team in the league. They score 17.2 points per game. And by the way, looking at this list, Ohio State scores 46 a game. That's a lot of points. The next best is Michigan at 34. Ooh.
It feels bad when you're a team that's trying to get 49 yards a game.
Yeah.
Ohio State scoring 49 points.
Yeah, they're putting up as many points as we get offensive yardage. Defensively, so Illinois is not good offensively. They're just not good. Middle of the pack defensively, they allow 21.6 points per game. It's not Wisconsin or Iowa at 14, 15, 16, but it also isn't Indiana, who's allowing 32 per game. So they almost exclusively run the ball. They can't throw. They have
Arthur Sitkowski. He broke his arm earlier this year.
Yeah, and then they have a guy named Peters as well. They've split almost equal reps, almost equal yards. They both throw for about 52 or 3%. Their running back, that you know, their top receiver is 38 receptions for 376 yards. That's okay. After that, it goes to their tight end. It gets pretty weak. And the bulk of their offense is Chase Brown, who has 143 rushing attempts. I guess they have McCray as well. And between those two, they have about 1,400 rushing yards. Like Kevin said, and we'll talk to Kevin in a little bit, they're going to stack 6-7 offensive linemen sometimes. And this would be a great game for you to play in, Drake. This would be a game for you. There'd be a lot of fullback action.
Every year that we played Illinois, it always was, man. And you know what? The Illinois linebackers, they play super pussy, dude. Like, first of all, if you're an Illinois linebacker, you should be ashamed of the way that you played football.
Yeah.
Because they dive head first on the ground to take on fullbacks.
They're soft.
And so we were taught that we had to go meet them down there. And so it was just two guys diving head first for each other because that's the way that they decided to do things over there.
Yeah. Not a whole lot more to say. We basically have to stop. We'll talk more football stuff with Kevin. I'll save that because I know that Drake and I, we kind of flow better on the more general current event stuff. But
I mean, yeah. What do you want me to say? If we can't run the ball on Illinois, then we can't run the ball on anybody. Like,
yeah.
What else do you want from me?
I look at them as a slightly worse Minnesota, even though they just beat Minnesota the week before. There's no reason we shouldn't win this game. There's just no reason we shouldn't win this game.
Literally also, zero. If we don't beat Illinois, then, I mean, come on.
We'll shut
down the podcast until the offseason.
Yeah, the Hawks haven't lost going back to before our time to Illinois. So, you know, and it's Bert's first year. I know his name is Brett, but I like calling him Bert. And he won't even be there. It's in Kinnick. We still have a shot at the Big Ten West title, so there's still fire to use and fuel us to win this ball game. And they're just not a great team. So last night, the CFP rankings were released. Nothing really changed. Georgia, Alabama, Oregon, Ohio State, Cincinnati sitting at 5. In the Big Ten this week, there is a big game. The old Ohio State Buckeyes will play in the Shoe versus Michigan State, who is ranked 7th. That's probably the most exciting game this weekend. If you're an Iowa fan, like I said, Nebraska with half a staff is going to take on Wisconsin. What are the odds that they actually put up any kind of fight against Wisconsin?
I don't know what the line is, but I would say Wisconsin probably covers that.
God, I would just love for something magical to happen. I'm going to look up the line right now. The old
Nebraska. Imagine how big of a joke the rest of the season would be if they just fired your whole coaching staff, dude.
I'm confused. Who calls the plays?
We're going to find out.
I haven't really kept up. The over under on that game is 42, and it's Wisconsin minus 9.
Oh my God. Hammer Wisconsin. That's one of my picks.
You think so?
Oh Christ. Yes. They fired their whole staff.
I know.
There's nobody on the offensive staff. Who gave the kids the game plan?
I know, dude. I just don't know how
they taught the quarterbacks how they're going to beat Wisconsin's defense. Wisconsin minus 9 is a lock. Take it. Hammer it. Lock it in.
You're right. They're fucked.
Dude, they gave Ohio State 21 points the other day against the team that had offensive coaches.
I know. I want them. I want Wisconsin to lose, and we're probably relying on old Tanner Morgan in the last week to get it done. And I believe they play for Paul Bunyan's axe. I think that's the trophy between Wisconsin and Minnesota. So like Wisconsin,
Paul Bunyan's dildo, fuck both those teams.
Yeah, but we'll be Gopher fans next week, especially because we beat them. So, oh man, I don't think it's going to happen at this point. It is wild to me that this team blew the West title where we were at and where Wisconsin was at. We went two completely different directions for 3 weeks, and yep, that hurt. Man.
But we still don't have an offense that would allow us to not get blown out by a team that's got good offense and defense.
You're right. I know you're right.
Like, imagine if we were just giving Ohio State the ball between the 40s every single possession.
Oof, that'd be bad. Yeah, There is this small portion of me that thinks, do we actually want Wisconsin to slip up and then we win these last two games and we find ourselves against Ohio State? Of course you want it for the optics, but then once that game starts, the entire 60 minutes, you're just hoping, please don't get blown out. And our defense would, I would see it as like a kind of how the Purdue game went. We would get controlled because we couldn't move the ball, but our defense would keep us in it and at least limit them to 30. I don't know. It would be tough. I don't know. It'd be great for them because then I wouldn't have to resell the tickets, but it is what it is. Other games in the Big Ten this week that aren't important are really none of them. Michigan plays Maryland, so they'll win.
Michigan plays Ohio State next weekend.
And then they play Ohio State. So that's, you know, Ohio State's got these two Michigan teams, and they have to win both of them. Do you think they'll win both of those games? Like, that's a tough.
I would say that it's better than 50% that they win them both. I would say each of them, they're probably like 75% favored.
Yeah.
Put it together, they're somewhere around half.
And then it just is same old, you know? Let me see if I got anything over here on the pod. Plan. Iowa State lost to Texas Tech this past weekend. So,
and Baylor, the Fighting Dylan Doyles, beat Boomer.
They finally took out Oklahoma, which makes me so happy because Oklahoma
had good.
Yeah. The Iowa State loss is interesting. I saw a Campbell. This isn't a Cyclone podcast by any means, but they're now 6-4 on the year. And
yikes.
And this was supposed
didn't
to
they
be,
start out like number 8.
Yeah, they were ranked as high as like 6 or 7, I think.
I mean, we can't say shit. We were ranked number 2, so.
Yeah, you know, you're right. But at least now, you know, 10 games into the season, we're 8-2, they're 6-4.
And we still have the Cy-Hawk, so.
We do still have the Cy-Hawk. They were supposed to potentially be the best team in Iowa State history this year. And that clearly isn't going to happen. They've lost to Iowa. They've lost to Texas Tech. They lost to Baylor and somebody else. I can't remember. And then Campbell in a press conference, it kind of felt like he was backtracking. He said, our goal was never to win the Big 12. Our goal is to be the best version of this team that they could be, like some bullshit answer.
What do you mean their goal is not to win the Big 12? Our goal is to win the Big 10 every single year.
I thought it was interesting because we literally put on paper that our goal is to, of course, win each week, win the trophy games, win the West, and then compete for a Big 10 championship. We put those down and say and actively put those out into the world as
towards those. They were our checklist. Like that was the season checklist.
And Campbell was like almost adamantly like, I've never said in the public that our goal is to be the Big 12 champions. And I just don't know if that's the look that you want, but hey, it's his team.
That's very similar to the look that you would expect from the losers up there in Lames, Iowa.
Yeah. Sounds very Scott Frostish, you know?
It just sounds like a chicken shit, Mickey Mouse bullshit operation. It's what we as the big brother expect out of those guys. It's kind of just what we joke about.
Yeah,
it's just what we joke about. Like they just aren't as dedicated to winning as we are. Like they just aren't quite willing to go as far as a program as we are. And like that goes as far from goal setting. Like if you don't shoot for the stars, you're going to come up short every single time. If like you don't make it an expectation that you win every game on your schedule because each week you're the more physically prepared dominant team, then like what are we doing? You're not a true competitor.
Yeah. Do you think that that's actually what he told his team? Like he romanticized the idea of being.
He told the media. It doesn't matter if he told his team that. He said it to the media. And now all his players are like, oh, that's how the coach feels. Like even if he was giving them a front before that in the meetings, once he says that to the media, they're like, oh, so everything that he was saying to us,
you're right,
was bullshit.
Holy shit. Wow. That's crazy. That sounds crazy, you and I, because we sat under Coach Ferentz who stood up at the front and says, we want to win the West. We want to win the Big Ten championship.
And we expect to win. Like you don't go up there and say at the beginning of the season, we expect to be 12-0.
Right.
Right. Because we're a one game at a time mentality squad, very much so, the 24-hour rule, et cetera, et cetera. But every single week, the head coach stands up at the front of the room and tells us the very explicitly that the expectation is for us to win this week, to be the most prepared team mentally and physically. And at the end of each week to be 1-0. And like, that is very, very blatantly the expectation.
Yeah. The way that Campbell put that out there, excuse me, is it literally makes it black and white. Either he actually told his team in the off season all the way through that our goal is to be this vague romantic idea of the best that we can be, right? The best Iowa State team that can be in 2021, which as a player, you're like, okay, that's a little broad.
So what do you think of us?
Right. That's a little broad. Like, can we narrow down on some goals here? Or they actually do, like most other teams say, hey, we want to win a conference championship. We want to win each game. And then he goes out and says something completely different in front of the media, which makes you look like an asshole to your team. Nobody else knows, but to your team. And so they're in either one of those two positions. And it makes me think that, you know, he's, you know, since he took Iowa State from the shitter to, you know, at least the
to relevance, realistic relevance.
Yeah, you know, he had him in the top 10 and a good finish last year, beat Oregon in the PlayStation Bowl or something like that. I wonder if them in this year that was supposed to be because he's been so hardcore Iowa State, right? I'm staying at Iowa State. I'm not going anywhere. USC job, LSU job. There's a few jobs that are open where he's always kind of, hey.
Can you imagine not taking that LSU job?
Or the USC. I mean, USC, dude, California.
Oh, but USC's been tougher. USC, like, you got to pay California taxes. You got to live in LA with all that bullshit.
Yeah.
You got to deal with being the coach of USC, which is equally, if not worse, than the coach of LSU. Yeah. Like, LSU is diehard Louisiana State University football.
Yeah.
Like, you go down there in the deep south in Louisiana, that's all they care about.
We blame football down here.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Right? They're not even okay with a Coach O having won a national championship a few years ago and being through a little bit of a lull. Like, the Tigers, they don't go through a lull.
You're right.
So taking that LSU job would be unbelievable. You get the nation's top recruits. Everybody wants to go play for LSU.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be dope.
I wonder if his allegiance to Ames and the Cyclones has wavered a little bit with their 6-4, right? Because he's human too, right? Like, he's just another guy. And yep. I would love to actually hear the truth. I think eventually it'll come out if he decides to leave or not, but interesting stuff. That's all I got, man. I'm going to leave it there.
I got a couple picks for you.
Yeah, we've got awards winners. We'll roll the music in the second clip with Kevin, but give me the picks. Are you actually taking the Nebraska as one of your three?
Yeah, I want Wisconsin minus 9.
Oh, right. Wisconsin against Nebraska. Okay. Wisconsin minus 9. Cool. Give me your other two.
Packers minus 2.5 at the Vikings.
Yes. We talked about that on old DHT yesterday. If you're a part of the Patreon army, we've got a few of those new members as well. You might as if you're a listener right now, and I haven't mentioned the merch yet, go buy the merch. It's live. And if you're going to buy merch, you save 10, 15, or 20% depending on what tier you sign up at on the Patreon. So you might as well go sign up for the Patreon. The discount will then pay for itself for a month or two of the Patreon. Then you get the extra perks. Come hang out with us on Dickhead Tuesday and in the
and on Discord.
And on the Discord. Anyway, Packers minus 2.5. They're playing the Vikes at the Vikes, but the Vikings are they've just lost a lot of close games. They're kind of like Nebraska. They just don't know how to win.
Very much in Vikings fashion. In every year except for the Stephon Diggs Minnesota Miracle.
Yeah. And then your final.
And then my other pick is going to be the Niners minus 6 at Jacksonville. The Niners seem to be kind of figuring something out. Mm-hmm. Their defense is playing really strong, like I talked about.
Yep.
And Jacksonville is Jacksonville. And if the Niners are going to make any kind of playoff push in the NFC and going to try and start beating these teams that beat them earlier in the season, they're going to start needing to get some momentum. So give me the Niners minus 6. Bang, bang.
I like that. And George is on a little bit of a tear recently. And when he plays
George's
well.
George's on a tear.
Yeah, when he plays well, they play well. And so.
And when Deebo Samuel plays well, they play well. And both those guys are on a tear right now. And because of that, Jimmy G's got some confidence because he's got two guys that he can rely on every single play.
Yeah, and he's the kind of quarterback where he kind of plays to the level of the guys around him. And so he's very good when he's got guys that are playing great. So I imagine you're going to get your neck torn off here in a little bit.
Yeah, dude, my neck be hurting too, man. It's in bad shape.
That's tough. Cool. So little jits for Drake. I am going to go eat some lunch and then we'll be back in a second with Kevin Ward, that guy who actually has a job and requires us to record it, you know, asshole times. Anyway, we'll be back in a second. It's my disdain for Kevin.
But the life of a podcast host with two screwballs.
There's a lot to deal with. There's a lot to deal with. The split episodes are always, always fun. Thank you guys for joining us here, Drake. Thanks for making time in the morning. And we'll talk on Monday next with you. You guys will hear Kevin Ward when we come back from the break. And we're back from the break. Kevin Ward shoots me a text about 12:45. He says, Kluve, let's get this thing done. As you heard before, Drake and Kevin are split episode this week, which is disrespectful to Illinois, and that's how it should be. We shit all over Illinois in the first half of the segment, Kev. So feel free to do any of that if you'd like. But
I mean, I chose to live in the great state of Iowa versus my home state of Illinois. So that's all the shitting over that state I need to do.
Yeah, you're a transplant. You're essentially, you're essentially an Iowan. I like Chicago a lot, but the rest of Illinois is tough.
Chicago's a great city to spend time in. I couldn't live there.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I don't see myself ever living in a huge city, but
Chicago's
a great time to go spend a weekend. For sure.
Yeah, no, I love a quick getaway there. You're definitely a suburban guy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm full on beta alanine right now and a little creatine pre-workout, because I was in the middle of a bench sesh when you text me. So I finished my bench real quick and came up to record the podcast, because I know that when Kevin and Drake ask me to record, when they set the time, I jump. How high, right? That's what I ask. How high? Because sometimes it's tough to get the troops rounded up around here in the Army. So for those that have been on, probably taken a lot of the pre-workouts that were created 10 years ago and now since probably banned, like Jack 3D. You ever take Jack 3D?
No.
It was like one. It was like one ingredient off of meth, I think.
It was, there's reasons that those things are not around
anymore. Yeah, I took it a couple times, and that, I mean, it'll get you going now.
No, yeah, I don't remember what I took one like a couple times back in high school, and I've not been taking pre-workouts since.
Yeah, I never took it in high school. I never took it in college. I'm always a pretty good energy guy, but I take the isolated element of beta alanine now, just because there's some decent studies that say it helps with the old endurance and lactic acid flushing during CrossFit type workouts. Anyways, for those that have taken it, it makes your skin itch and kind of tingle a little bit. It gives you a little tingle. And so I am tingling right now during this podcast.
Good tingle or like actually itch?
It's like a good tingle. It's not an itch. It's hard to describe unless you've taken it. And if you've taken the Jack 3D, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so I'm jacked up for this. Kevin and I are going to go for 20 minutes or so. He said that the rest of his day work-wise turned into, what was it?
Turned into the Port-a-John at a chili festival.
Yeah, the port-a-potty at a chili festival, i.e. shit show. So, which you may be able to call Illinois football. Illinois football sits at 4-6 this year. Let me check. Fifth in the Big Ten West. They are a heavily run-dominated team. Chase Brown leads the way with 851 yards on 143 carry attempts. They have a pretty solid.
That dude's like he's a workhorse now. He's thick. He runs the ball hard. And they just keep handing him the ball.
They run Chase Brown like the Marshalltown sophomore football team ran Tyler Kluber. It's just, we got this one guy and we just got to give him the ball and hope he gets it done.
You were getting fed like Jerome Bettis back in the day.
Dude, it was rough. There was multiple games where middle of the second quarter wasn't even, you know, we weren't even to halftime and I was sucking wind because I was going both ways. And it was just dive right, dive left. Not good. They got a decent little second back in Joshua McCray, 94 carries for almost 500 yards. So really a good rushing attack. However, it is accompanied by a passing attack that is almost non-existent. And well, we have seen when your offense is one-dimensional from the Iowa side, what happens from the defense perspective, Kev, it becomes a whole lot easier to defend teams, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, for sure. I'd imagine Phil's going to play a lot of down defense looks. So he's going to get an extra safety in the box somehow, whether that be playing cover three or bringing the backside safety down and just playing man to man on the backside. We're not just going to let them spread us out and run it on us, which Illinois really hasn't been, but they've been mixing up. They've been running out of the spread looks. They've been also running out of like kind of like the old Wisconsin looks that Fielma used to run at Wisconsin. And then a couple new looks where he's got like eight offensive linemen in the game.
Yeah. As well. If they do a lot of that.
So I got to give them credit for that. They do mix it up how they run the ball.
Well, you have to, right? Like you can't, if you tell the opposite team, I don't know what KF liked to be. I think he liked to be as close to 50-50 or 60-40 as he could with running game. I mean, Illinois is 80-20. They're like a nice pack of 80-20 ground beef, you know? And
it's probably not because they want to be.
It's no.
Because they kind of have to be. Like you said, they that passing game is just not there.
704 yards for Arthur Sitkowski, who is their starting quarterback. Brandon Peters has gotten really damn near the same amount of time. He has 110 attempts. Sitkowski has 150. They both have thrown for about 700 yards. So I think Sitkowski was hurt.
It's like 140 yards a game.
It's bad. So,
which is, yeah, in this day and age of football, it's like a little bit of an outlier there.
Right, right. So we're going to see a lot of running. And if they do go to that 7 offensive line set, what do we expect there? I imagine more Justin Jacobs instead of...
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of Justin Jacobs this game, I imagine.
Okay. Yeah. I think I've said it multiple times this year. When you're talking about a physical specimen, right? Like a guy that's just sort of built to play football, like Justin Jacobs is that guy.
Kind of reminds me of Q. It's like you could put him in an Under Armour store, put a couple pieces of Under Armour on them, and he can be your mannequin.
Stand him up on the platform, yeah, exactly. and just have him stay still and no one will
just pay him to stand around all day just wearing stuff. Yeah.
That's funny. So, and he's a, you know, we've seen him, his most notable play this year is when he set the edge against Iowa State, caused the fumble, and Jack Campbell scoops and scores. So we know that he can be physical in the run game. Is there any situation where we put 5 D linemen in? Or we just bring the box down and just use more athletic guys?
No, I mean, we only really do that in goal line situations with our goal line package. I don't see us doing that in the open field at all. It kind of leaves us a little liable if they do spread it out.
Right.
So we have run like defenses that are really oriented to stopping the run. And I imagine that's what we're going to play a lot of Saturday afternoon. It's a weird afternoon time.
This is, I forgot to mention that this is a 1 o'clock central kick, which I don't think we ever played in one of those.
No. So this is what they used to do back in the day. My dad said this is what time back in the '80s where he played like every week was 1
p.m. Well, I don't, you know, as we've mentioned, we prefer the earlier game time. So this is actually going to be guys will show up. The buses will show up at 11. Mm-hmm. The pregame meal will be at 9. Like this is the kind of,
that's actually kind of nice. Yeah.
This is like my kind of game time right here. Because I do the post game radio show, which happens about an hour after the game ends, we come on and it goes for 2 hours. I also appreciate this because that gives me another 90 minutes on the back end of things. So I imagine it's going to be a fairly quick game. A lot of running means running clock. Defensively for Illinois, they are middle of the Big Ten. I mentioned
Big Ten, but been playing better down the stretch.
Have been playing better down the stretch.
Against Minnesota, like they've been pretty tough against the run recently. Minnesota and against Penn State as well. They're getting better.
So do you?
And they're also coming off a bye week. I expect this could be a tough game.
Oh yeah,
sit on them all you want. I don't see the Hawks covering this 12-point spread. I think it's
gonna be close. Is it 12?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't see. I would have guessed closer to 8 or 9, and I don't.
Hope I'm wrong, but.
Oh, I'd love to see a 2 or 3 score win, but I agree. I don't think they're going to cover 12. What is the over under at?
What do you think it's at?
42? 38.5. Ooh, wow. They really don't trust these teams. And I don't either, to be honest.
I think Iowa's been like in the 30s, like the last 4 games.
Which is embarrassing, dude. It's embarrassing. I pulled up I had the stats up earlier when I was with Drake. Guess how many points per game Ohio State is scoring. They're the top of the Big Ten, of course.
Oh, 48.
46. It was 46. They are scoring 46 points per game. Yeah,
that offense is really clicking right now.
So they're covering the Iowa spreads, which are between two teams by themselves. They're an outlier because the next best is Michigan and Michigan State, both like at 34. So 12 points over anybody else. Illinois is second to last, scoring 17 points per game, 16 points per game.
Northwestern in last place, or?
I believe so, yeah. And so, you know, our defense is good. We know that. And I expect some version of the game we saw last weekend.
Yeah, for sure. A little bit.
Minnesota. And,
given the bye week, I'd imagine we'd have Illinois with a few tricks up their sleeves. I wouldn't be surprised to see them pull out some trick plays.
End of the season as well. And
end
they're
of
not.
Season, they need two wins to get to a bowl with two games left. So.
And I think they can beat Northwestern, which is their final
game. They're
going
to be favored versus Northwestern. For sure.
So if they, you know, effectively it's beat the Hawks and they make a bowl game. So they have all the stuff to play for.
For sure. You're going to get their best shot. There's no doubt about that.
Now, the one thing that is holding them back is old big Brett Burt Bilamil. Illinois. He isn't going to be there.
Correct.
Now, I don't think we ever were without KF. But this happens time to time, especially in the COVID era here. You know, sometimes coaches have passings in the family or whatever it may be. What does that do? How does that really affect, you know, for a listener sitting there, like wondering, how does that affect a team? In your opinion, what kind of effect does that actually have on a program when they go into a Saturday game?
I'd imagine it depends at what point he got tested positive. You know, like if KF were to test positive like on Thursday on our bye day and we didn't have him Friday and day of Saturday, I'm going to be honest, I don't think it'd make a huge difference.
Not a huge difference, right?
Yeah.
But if you don't have him all week, which I believe this was announced on Monday, so he would have tested positive either Sunday or Monday.
Right. Like, I don't know. You can have Zoom calls. You can meet with your assistant coaches and talk to whoever's going to be running the sideline on game day. Kind of give them your idea of the game plan. You know, we've talked about it before, especially like on defense. You know, Phil was our guy.
Yeah.
Phil was our leader.
And he would have stepped in if that did happen to KF, right? Like, he's probably the guy who takes over as acting head coach.
You know, I don't know. A lot of teams started doing is the special teams coach.
Really?
And so that the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator could just keep worrying about their jobs.
True.
Special teams coach doesn't have as much on his plate. So he can be the one worrying about clock management, stuff like that.
Yeah. Two quick questions for you before we get to everyone's favorite. And I'm going to keep calling it that. Everyone's favorite. I asked these to Drake. One of them is, well, they're both rival related, but nothing to do with us. Well, somewhat to do with us. One is, we are Nebraska fans this weekend. Unfortunately, that is the way it is. Nebraska will be playing at recently ranked number 15, recently being last night in the CFP, Wisconsin. They'll be in Camp Randall, and they will not have – they'll be without four or five of their offensive coaches.
The equipment manager is the offensive coordinator this week.
Greg Morris is coaching the running backs. Ben Hansen has the quarterback. Like, I don't know. Actually, in our Jason Manson, the new player development guy, he could step in as quarterback coach.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'd imagine all the programs out there got guys like that, you know, guys that have other titles, but you know,
could
step in and coach.
Does Scott Frost call the plays now? Like, what?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything out of their camp. What's going on with any of that, honestly?
Wisconsin's -9. How do you feel about that? Is there any chance that Nebraska pulls off the miracle and helps out the Hawks this weekend?
I'll tell you in a little bit. I'll tell you in the next segment.
Okay. All right. We'll leave that one. And then finally, before we get to that segment, I doubt you saw this. Maybe you did. Campbell, like all coaches, had his weekly media, Matt Campbell over in Lames. And I think, I'm not sure what the question was exactly, but it was.
Is he still everybody's favorite, even though he's like 6-4 this year?
Well, he is a name, right? Because he did bring them out of the hole into relevance. And
Congratulations. Your team is 6-4 in the Big 12.
And they were, and this was supposed to be their season. The same thing I said to Drake. I said, you know what? This was, you know, last year was 9-3 and they won their bowl game versus Oregon. Call that a good year, a great year for them, their best year. But with everybody coming back, their quarterback, their tight ends, their defense, this was supposed to be like the double digit win season and potentially make a run at the big show. And now they sit six. Now they sit 6-4 with no Cy-Hawk trophy. And today, when asked about their goals for the season or trying to compete for a Big 12 championship, Matt Campbell's response was that their goal publicly was, and he's like, publicly, I've never said that our goal was to win a Big 12 championship. That's never been the goal of this team. Our goal is to be the best 2021 Cyclone team that we can be, reach our potential. Now, I thought that was an odd way to answer that question. And I actually responded to Chris Hassel, who is a news guy, works for ESPN now. And he said something about it. Yeah. And I said, that's really odd, because for the Hawks, every year at the beginning of the year, on paper, clearly defined was win every game, but more specifically, win our trophy games, win the West. And if we win the West, then compete for a Big Ten championship. So me and Drake came to the conclusion that either A, that's actually was their goal on the inside. And at the beginning of this off season, he's like, hey, our goal this year is to be, you know, this like weird romantic description of be our best, meet our potential, but let's not put a solid defined goal out there, a smart goal, if you will. Mm-hmm. Or they actually did. It's specific, measurable, right?
Attainable. Was attainable up there?
Attainable. Reasonable and time-based, I think, or something like that. Or they did set goals like that, like I think, or I thought every team did. But then in the media, he's saying something different and kind of like trying to make an excuse for them not making it to the Big 12 championship. I'm confused. Either way, it's sort of a weird, bad look.
Yeah, I mean, so you'll hear coaches say all the time, you know, especially teams that really, you know, you can say you want to win the Big Ten or whatever conference you're in or national championships, but that's not realistic for your team, is to say, you know, we just want to play our best football 12 games a year.
Mm-hmm. Like
that. Or we just want to go out there and play our best game. I mean, you hear stuff like that all the time. If they really were going into the season with the goal of not having the goal of winning the Big 12 championship, is that even a goal of your university? I'm not sure
if that's good coaching, right? Leadership.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
so
I guess there's two sides of it. I mean, you take it one game at a time. It's like, hey, we just want to play the next game. We want to play our best football or something like that.
Right.
You know, KF would always bring up the Nate Kading quotes, like, say, what was it? It's like, one step at a time, there is no big picture, something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe that's the thing he's going with.
Maybe. He looked a little flustered when he answered the question. And of course, the way that social media is there.
I would never go to the media, or I would never say that word. I would never say this out loud, that our goal is not to win the Big 12 championship.
It was weird.
I get to say, like, hey, we just want to like play our best football, or be our best selves in 2021. I get that part. The opposite, the goal is not to win the Big 12 championship. That's the part I don't.
Right.
You know, why would you say that out loud?
Right. Yeah.
Or why'd you even think that? Like, I don't know.
And that's why it felt like a backtrack, or sort of this like cover up of like the performance that they put out this year. Who knows? I'm interested to know now, okay, you were at the top of the mountain. You're the guy that everybody wants. You're never going to be wanted as badly as you are right now in these last couple years. Now that you're 6-4 and maybe what you saw isn't as achievable as you thought, does he scamper away and go take a bigger job? I don't know. Riley Moss, he played last week, and then obviously more has come out about him. He has no PCL. So he joins the club, and the Discord Army Discord was talking about it. And I said, well, actually Kevin doesn't have a PCL either. And he went through most of his career like that. So people wanted you to shed a little bit of light on how that affects anything, if at all. And yeah, just your personal experience.
Yeah. Very, very weird injury, I gotta say. Like when you actually do it, it doesn't really hurt. I mean, it kind of hurt a little bit, but it was just like, wow, my knee feels really weird right now. But it becomes like really unstable. So it kind of subluxes a little bit, specifically if like you have your foot on the ground. I showed Clue this all the time. I can just move my shin back and forth.
There's nothing
keeping it. So like here's my femur, here's my tibia. It just moved back and forth.
It's if you're at all squeamish, it's not the funnest thing to watch.
Yeah. So they'd always have the the student trainers come in, and like the trainers would be like, all right, guess which one has the hurt PCL. And they'd be like, go on my right leg. It's like, maybe, I don't know. And then go on my other leg and be like, oh yeah, that's it.
You're a case study.
Yeah, exactly. But you basically have to relearn how to run, how to move a lot, side to side a lot. You have to like kind of train the stabilizing muscles in your knee to kind of take over the fact that ligament is not functioning anymore.
Yeah. And I think we could see that a little bit with Riley last week. He didn't quite have the zip, kind of the speed. Yeah.
So from what I remember, you know, this was my redshirt freshman year going in. This was my second camp.
Mm-hmm.
When I got hurt.
You love camp.
You know, I could get back to practice. I was back practicing 2-3 weeks later, I think. But I wasn't right. You know, I wasn't 100%. It was, you know, my knee would kind of give in, and I'd just kind of like stumble.
Yeah.
It was specifically, I don't remember. You know, like if I was just running in a straight line as fast as I can, it's fine.
Yeah.
But if I had to like break down real quick, make a cut, I think it was speeding up.
Mm.
Like stopping and going real fast. That was when I'd kind of feel it kind of give on me a little bit. That was the hardest thing to get back. And
from
he'll be 100% like back better than ever by the end of the season for sure. It's just kind of really have to teach your whole body how to rerun.
Funny enough, he is a senior. He did mention, however, when asked about, because he technically has the COVID year. He said he has not closed the door on coming back next season, but I believe he is going to go through senior day stuff. So interesting to see where that goes. And hopefully, regardless if he comes back or not, probably not. He gets back to fully healthy so he can go ball out in the league. But that brings us to everybody's favorite. Kevin. Yeah. All I do is win, no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get it up. And as you mentioned, it was a good week last week. As you mentioned earlier, the Nebraska-Wisconsin game seems to potentially be one of your picks. So give your three. I need to look and actually find mine. So talk to the people.
We actually need to make this Wisconsin -9.5.
The
pod consensus pick so that we inevitably lose, but it'd be the most Nebraska thing to still lose, but just cover the
night.
You know, I know we need Nebraska to win this week. I don't see it. And I don't see them covering 9.5 going into Camp Randall. Wisconsin is playing their best football of the year and in the right time.
Yeah,
they're a completely different football team than when they started off 1-3. They are looking good. They're playing physical Wisconsin football. That defense is legit,
mm-hmm.
and they're going against a team that fired their entire offensive coaching staff. So I think Wisconsin wins, and I think they cover this pretty easily. But hey, let's go Nebraska.
I'll make it a consensus pick on the graphic just in case that shit actually is voodoo magic.
Imagine if we had that kind of black magic abilities.
Like, oh my God.
Just make whatever we want to happen. We just pick the opposite.
It'd be great.
So I'm not too hopeful on the Cornhuskers getting it done for the Hawks this week. Now, hopefully this next team can get it done for us the following week, because I got the Minnesota Golden Gophers. I got it at 7. I think it's at 7.5 now, at Indiana. Minnesota is a good football team. I think they play tough. They play hard. And Indiana is absolutely racked with injuries right now.
They are just the saddest season that a college football team could ever go through, I think.
Yeah, I mean – They're 2-8. They started the season ranked number 17 or something. They had dreams of maybe competing in the East, and boy, like I said, racked with injuries. They look like they just came off a war front. If there's ever a time for just kind of,
I mean, Rutgers beat them
in the towel for the season. This is it,
dude. Rutgers beat them 38-3.
Yeah,
last week, Rutgers.
So I got the Golden Gophers covering. I got it at 7. I think it's at 7.5 now. I think you're still good with that 7.5. Then my last one, I got – oh, which one is one I go between?
Dude, the Ohio State-Michigan State line, that's absurd.
Yeah, that's not my pick, though. I think I'm going to go with Rutgers plus 17.5 versus Penn State. I think Penn State wins this one. I don't think it's ever really a super close game, but I think Rutgers keeps it within the spread here.
Okay. All right. There you go. Drake's picks were he was taking Wisconsin minus nine. That was one of his picks. That was one of his picks. It's fate.
Do it.
I'm making it the consensus pick of the week, and Wisconsin minus 9 hits easy money. And that's all I'm going to say about it. I don't know about my other picks. I am looking at that Michigan State plus 19 line. Wow. That's a lot of respect for Ohio State, but I get it.
Yeah, I mean,
I get it. Purdue went in and exploited their secondary. Who's the
I think Purdue and Michigan State are like very similar teams.
And we know what Purdue just did against Ohio State.
They have good offenses and defenses that can be good at times, can be, you know, against the best offense in the league, could probably get exploited a little bit. So,
yeah.
What's the over-under? I think it was pretty high, right? It was in the high 60s, I want to say.
Let's see. Let me find it again. Who am I looking for? Ohio State, Michigan State?
And a half.
Wow. That's a lot.
It's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points. I went with Wake Forest, and they helped me out. They're actually a dog at Clemson, and Clemson has not been impressive, and I'm seeing 4.5 on some sites.
Yeah.
I'll take Clemson and the points.
It's kind of a, you know, what's going to give type scenario. You got a really bad offense and good defense
versus
Clemson, and then you got a really good offense and bad defense.
Yeah,
Wake Forest. So
it's strength against strength and weakness against weakness.
Exactly.
Could be an interesting game.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. The consensus pick: Wisconsin's going to roll, and we'll just put that into the ether. And then I'll make sure that this is on the graphic. I'm not too confident at this point in anything else, to be honest. I'm just really not. I don't see anything that jumps out at me, and so I'm not going to put it out there, but it will be on the graphic. So you've got Kevin's picks, you got Drake's picks, and you have two of my picks, or the consensus pick plus the Wake Forest pick. So that's Ward's winners. Kevin's going to have to go deal with his chili festival, and I got to get back to my workout. We got squat cleans, power cleans. So all is fun. Thank you guys for buying the merch. Thank you guys for signing up for the Patreon. Again, if you're going to buy merch, might as well sign up for the Patreon. It pays for itself with the discount code. And supporting the kids. All that goes 50%. Kevin and Drake and I were just talking about how big that number has grown to this year. Kevin on the Dickhead Tuesday podcast yesterday, the Patreon exclusive weekly pod. Drake and I had the idea that he dresses up like Santa and I dress up as an elf. And we take that donation number, whatever it may be, and we actually buy the presents that all the kids want, and we show up at the hospital. So
take some pictures. I'm more of a check writing type.
You're not going to be there. Oh, Kevin doesn't like the children. Oh,
I don't know if the children love that idea. To be honest.
They don't want to see an elf with a mustache like you.
No, I'm sure they're fine with getting a PlayStation 5 or whatever you guys going to get.
They just don't really give a shit about the.
I don't think they want to Drake dress up as a Santa with a mullet and bad facial hair to. He didn't want to give it to them.
Drake said he would dye his mullet white. Just absolutely absurd. So maybe we don't.
These poor children have gone through enough. We don't need to scar them like that.
You're right. Maybe that's not a good experience to put them through. So yeah, exactly. We'll figure that out. But all of your purchases of the merchandise, which there's some really cool stuff this time around, it all goes into that fund and. This year specifically, the walk-ons have taken a large step up, which means that the contribution looks a whole lot bigger on the actual check. So
coming for you, Linderbaum.
Yeah, we're coming. Yeah, we're coming for Lindy's 25K, whatever he raised. But thanks for purchasing and supporting us that way. Thanks for listening to the episode. Hopefully, we are talking to you as a 9-2 football team with one more week to go.
Oh, and by the way, when the Hawks over 8.5 win hits. That's going in my total.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that is this week. We have 2 weeks to hit the 8.5 win total from the beginning of the season. Looking pretty good right now. So we'll get back to you on Monday, of course, regularly scheduled programming. It's Thanksgiving next week. So that's exciting. But we'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening. Peace.